our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast, Rich Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Rich Police Radio. I'm here with a returning guest, but it's been a while since I had you on the show, and I think I've been doing a lot of these lately where I'm sort of catching up with people who were on the show at one point or multiple points in the past and sort of have new music imminently coming out or currently out, and it's kind of nice to sort of follow the trajectory of what their music career has been. So I think the best way to start this off before we get into any of that is if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about who you are as an artist, and we can take it from there.
Sure. My name's Jacob Burdowski, and I'm a singer-songwriter.
Cool. That's a very succinct way of putting it, for sure. And so, you've been on the show a few times. I think most recently was sort of right around the time of your previous record, which was, how long ago was that? How long ago was that last album?
I think that came out in 2022, so it's been a long time.
So it was kind of right, I guess, is that the tail end of the pandemic, or was the pandemic still?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, is it over? But well,
if it is indeed over, kind of closing out there. So you have this new record that you've been working on. Obviously, there's been a lot of time that's passed between then and now. Just to sort of catch me up, I guess, and listeners who maybe haven't heard from you since the last time you were on the show, hopefully they have, but you never know. What's sort of been the what's happened in your world musically since then? I mean, you released this record. It as far as I could tell, I really loved it, and everyone I know who heard it kind of shared those similar feelings about it. But so I guess we can call it a success in that sense. I'm not sure how successful it was from your point of view, but let's rewind to say you had a very good record that came out, and then there's been a few years since then. So what's your musical career been like over that time?
It's been interesting. So yeah, that record came out about a month before my oldest was born.
Okay.
And so I don't recommend putting out a record a month before you have your first kid, if anyone's considering it. I still am, I like stand by the album. Like I think it's still worth existing on the internet, but it certainly, I think between the pandemic kind of still being a thing, and then I wasn't really ready to like jump in head first because I was becoming a dad for the first time.
For sure.
And so the record kind of came out, and it sort of, I don't know, I kind of felt like it sort of came out, it was sort of met with a collective shrug, and I was pretty discouraged for a long time. I kind of stepped away from music pretty substantially. I remember remarking to my partner at the time, like, our son's name is Shiloh, and saying like, oh, well, it would have been nice if Shiloh could have, you know, seen me play a show or whatever, but whatever. And I had a job, and I was just kind of like leaning into like family life. Like I did a little bit of touring around that record. I went to Germany when I think he was like 3 months old, but it didn't really, you know, it didn't really move the needle in any meaningful way really for me, which sounds like a kind of like a entitled thing to say, but
well, it's crazy. It seems like a crazy thing to say, just because I really love that record. Like, and
oh, thank
so,
you.
So, it's like it definitely was on my list of favorite local albums or whatever, you know, that year for sure.
I was very honest.
And so it's weird to think that, like, I mean, that's how music is perceived, though, right? I mean, like, you're the one who made it, and once you've released it, it's out of your hands, and people are either loving it or hating it or dismissing it or whatever they're doing with it.
Yeah, and I think really when I say I wasn't able to move the needle, I think I wasn't in a place in my life to really like allow for that to happen. I wasn't really able to put in the time. I've never really been much of a road dog, and I went out, I did it, you know, and then I kind of just moved on, and I was kind of moving away from music in general, and then a couple things kind of happened a couple years ago sort of in quick succession. I just started writing again, and I was sort of very encouraged by some peers to write more and to keep writing. We were just sort of doing some song sharing and stuff that kind of led to that. And then Gavin Gardner, who is from the band Moon River and the Wooden Sky, and he mastered my last record.
Okay.
He reached out to me out of nowhere and was just sort of like, hey, like, have you written any music lately? Like, me and James, who the two of them make up Moon River, they're like, we're looking to do some producing and I really love your stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, not really, but like, here, whatever. These are stupid songs that I've written that I don't feel very good about. And he was like, he was very encouraging and very generous, and basically said, if you can fly yourself to Toronto, you can stay with me. You know, we'll make it'll be a very cheap trip, and you know, we'll just spend a couple days in the studio with us.
Cool.
Just, you know, no expectations, no, you know, nothing. Just like, he's like, we're happy to just do it, and let's just see if anything comes of it. And if something comes of it, then we can chat about maybe doing more. And then, so that was a very crazy experience, because I've never worked with producers before, and I've always been mostly self-produced or co-produced. And so I brought them some songs, and we had a really lovely time. I didn't know them that well, but we really got along quite well. And Gavin's like a super, super generous and lovely guy. Just sort of put me up in his house. And,
oh, cool.
And so we got some demos out of that, and then I brought them back to Winnipeg and showed them to some people, and some people were pretty encouraging of that. And right around the same time, I was starting to sort of co-write some songs in a different project, and so the wheels kind of started turning again, and all of a sudden I found myself with a little bit more time, a little bit more drive, and now here we are.
Cool. And so one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, because I mean, you mentioned earlier sort of having that major life change of becoming a parent right mm-hmm. in the middle of sort of between, you know, between the two records. That obviously changes. I mean, you know, I have kids. It changes everything, right? It changes everything about how you sort of even see the world, and you occupy space day to day is completely different than it was even 3 months before that, right? So as someone who writes songs that are, I feel like your songs are, they sort of either very personal or very much like a vignette of mm-hmm. a character and a time and place.
Mm-hmm.
How has that experience, that sort of major change in perspective maybe, affected your songwriting? Because your songs definitely have characters, and whether they're autobiographical, whether they're not, I mean, I feel like the people in your songs are very well-defined.
Mm, well, that's kind. In a lot of different ways, I mean, primarily the first thing that comes to mind is just like, I have so much less time.
Of course, yeah.
So it's like, I have to be a lot more efficient with the time that I do have. So actually, I find I'm writing a lot more because, you know, I have 40 minutes of like lucidity between, you know, putting my kids to bed
for and when
sure. I have to put myself to bed. And so it's like, I'm going to use that time wisely. But I think the other thing too is like, yeah, like as you said, like your perspective on everything changes. And that's sort of, I think this record is, I think the last record leaned a lot more heavily on like characters and vignettes that maybe I would like, you know, project myself onto.
Yeah.
But still sort of like hiding behind that veneer of like third person. And this record is definitely much more personal and much more. And I think part of it is just because like when you have kids, you're just like, I don't know, you're too tired to like construct any.
For sure. Yeah.
any shields. You're just like, I feel crazy.
Yeah.
So a lot of the songs on this record are much more personal, much more like, I think myself and sort of maybe more like vulnerable.
Do you feel like that's noticeable to the listener, or just to, I mean, like, do you hear this and you obviously know where you're coming from, where your mindset was when you're writing these songs, but do you think that, like, you know, that vulnerability is necessarily going to be noticed by people who don't know you and maybe don't know the circumstances?
That's what I've been told.
Okay.
When I showed it to people and like some of the folks that played on it, who are, you know, close friends of mine who know me very well and know my last record very well, that was sort of the common refrain was like, wow, these songs are a lot more personal.
Waking up to all the frozen roads, the sun was hot, the sky was cold. Across the park where all the preteens hide, all bottled up and cast aside, like an iPod, like a landline, like an ashtray that hasn't coughed enough, like a swing set, like a necktie, like a big old house too small for all your stuff. his house, he's got a chair he likes. Beside the mini fridge with hockey lights. Satellite to fight the morning gloom. Oblivious and out of tune. Like an uncle. Like a headline. Like pianos left in basements at your parents' place. Like a sitcom. Like a lawn sign. Like the way we've learned to hide a friendly face. It's been so hard to feel hopeful. It's been so hard to look ahead. It's been so hard to say I'm sorry about before. So hard getting out of bed. Like an old dog. Like a big fight. Like the bad news that you still gotta break. Like our dark days. Like our long lives. Like an annotated list of past mistakes. Like an annotated list of past mistakes. Like an annotated list of past mistakes.
Does that feel weird, like knowing that that people are hearing that sort of from your stuff? It is kind of
totally. Yeah, it feels like you're naked. But I also think it makes better art. So I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it's,
for sure. Yeah,
it's weird, but and I think also maybe that's something that comes with like just being older. Like, you know, I'm 34 now, and I think you just care less.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just you're just I don't know. I'm still incredibly self-conscious, but I feel like I'm less self-conscious than when I was writing my last record. I feel like I'm less trying to like prove something and more just being like, this is me, take it or leave it, whatever.
But that's
move on.
I like that though, because I mean, I like that the fact that you're being more like personal and vulnerable and you care less. Like, it kind of seems like it should be the other way around, right?
Yeah, maybe. And I think also, that comes with parenthood too. It's
sure,
like that, you know, for so many of us, like, yeah, and certainly before kids, you're just like, you're searching for like what defines my existence, like what is my identity, who am I?
Yeah.
And I still struggle with that for sure, but being a dad occupies a lot of that space and sort of fills in a lot of those blanks. And so I think there's a certain lack of insecurity, maybe. I mean, I'm insecure about all these new things I didn't know I could be insecure about
for sure,
since having kids. But there also is this like lack of insecurity in some ways, because it's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, you don't have time to care, right? Yeah,
I don't have time to care. Yeah.
For people who are familiar with your stuff, I mean, sonically, how would you say this has changed? Because even just sort of on first listen to some of these songs, they definitely are in your style. I mean, it sounds like you, but there's other things happening. It seems like it's maybe, I don't know how you even define the previous records. I mean, like they're folk records or folk rock records, whatever you want to call it, somewhere in that vein. But this seems like there's more. I don't know if adventurous is the right word, but you're more sort of dabbling with different styles and different sounds that maybe I haven't heard or listeners haven't heard on your previous record.
Totally. No, I mean, we definitely took way more risks on this record. I think, you know, the last record, even just the way that they were recorded is drastically different. So the last record, you know, was like me and Jason spending weeks in his garage just cutting drums.
Okay.
And like scratch guitar, and then me taking those files and like multi-tracking and layering and sending them to friends and whatever for, you know, 2 years.
Okay, wow, yeah.
So like really like chipping away at it slowly and meticulously. And whereas this record was like, we put a band together, we all got in a room together for 6 days and we cut it.
Oh, cool.
That was it. Yeah, and it was, you know, throw caution to the wind. Like, you know, we kind of, We weren't like, we didn't have like a hard schedule, but it's like, you know, you do the math, we're trying to do 10 songs in 6 days. It's like, okay, we need to pretty much do 2 songs a day.
Yeah.
If we're going to be able to do this. And then working with producers for the first time too, where it's like Gavin and James had their own ideas sonically about what they wanted to bring to the table. And my whole, and again, this sort of goes back to not caring, like my whole sort of philosophy with this record was very much just like, lean into it and don't just kind of throw caution to the wind. Like I brought, you know, probably about 50-60% of the songs I brought to the studio that I intended on recording, we threw away and replaced songs that I had written, you know, that week.
And I imagine that's different from how you've written before too, right? Because I mean, I think you're saying spending 2 years on that last record, that's very deliberate and very probably, I imagine, like going for perfectionism in some of the sounds and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever achieved it, but maybe not even perfection. But yeah, just like overthinking and just like, like listening to a song and be like, oh, I actually want to do it this way. Whereas this one, it was like, you know, we have a finite amount of time and money to spend on this. So like, we're just going to do it. And whatever it is, it is. You know, I think a lot to a friend of mine who's made a lot of records said to me once, you know, albums aren't the be all end all of a song. It's just a moment in time. It's just a snapshot of that song in that moment, in that time with those people. And so I tried to really focus on that and really also just let the folks that played in the band kind of, you know, do their own thing and leave their mark and leave them enough space. I ended up on a lot of the songs, I don't even play guitar. I'm just like sitting in the room singing or like dabbling a little bit on a synth or something.
You're thinner. Is this strange? It's just dinner. You're on guard. I know I have myself to blame. Is this hard? Pause to ponder as the waitress came. Still I see you and I feel same. Likewise, you replied. I was trying to make you understand. I was glad you arrived. Still, I fumbled through my sweat-stained hands and said, it's so nice to see you. I can't believe it's been so long. Likewise. Got kids. Heard you had a husband once. He hit the skids. Don't imagine that was fun. Your eyes roll. You tell me that's not how it went. How would I know? Likewise, you reply. I'm the product of the life you chose. I'm not mad, just surprised. We sipped our coffee as the tension rose, and as my open mouth betrayed me, searching for a reason why. Likewise, you reply. I know I wasn't then. Time took its toll. Finally on my feet again. I'm older and I was thinking we'd be friends. Likewise, you replied. I've been searching for a different way we could frame both our lives. I spoke this truth so plain. You know the one thing I can't shake is I never gotta say. likewise you reply. Likewise you reply. Likewise you reply.
The synth is, I mean, that's a good thing to bring up too. There's more sort of, I wouldn't say it's an electronic record by any stretch, but there's more of those kind of sounds. There's like programmed drums at points. There's synths. There's a lot less organic, but not that that's a negative. But there's more sort of from what you'd expect on a folk record, quote unquote.
Yeah, it's definitely less of a folk record, I think. But I'm still trying to call it a folk record because that's where my world is. But. Yeah, I think again, and that a lot of that was Gavin and James's influence, but also Jason. You know, Jason's a big synth guy. Jason's really got into like modular synths and stuff in the last couple of years, and there's a lot of some of that we put on. I think more just tried to sort of like expand the sonic palette on this record, and you know, in the classic way you do with like your second album is just, you know, try to like make it more interesting than the last one.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of records where there's like Easter eggs. Like I love a record that you can return to a couple times and hear kind of pick out different things in the song. And so tried to include that. And like we still did some overdubs and Gavin and James took the record back to Toronto where they live and they added some stuff. And definitely more, took a lot more like trying something in the studio, being like, oh, this sounds kind of weird. Let's do it. And just moving on, not as much thinking about it.
So then, I guess the obvious question there is how does this work live then? Because I mean, you know, I saw you play a couple months ago, right, the day of that ridiculous blizzard, and you know, it was you with the guitar, and obviously you're playing old songs and new songs, and clearly your stuff works in that format where it's just you playing guitar and singing, but. Are these songs different in the sense that, like, I mean, is reinterpreting them in sort of a solo sense? Is that something that you can do or want to do with these, or are they sort of meant for a larger sound?
It's a great question. I believe very strongly in the idea that a good song should be good no matter how you dress it up. And so I'm sort of looking forward to, like, I'm playing a show this Thursday. I mean, this is going to come out after it, so. I played a show last Thursday.
Right, whenever Thursday was. Yeah.
Whenever Thursday was. Yeah. I'm playing a proverbial show, and I'm really looking forward. Like, I bought a little drum machine I'm going to try and mess around with, but I'm looking forward to trying these songs solo. In many ways, they lend themselves better to a band than the last record. It's more defined because it was all recorded live.
Yeah.
The parts are a little bit more defined. It's a little bit easier to bring into a band, where it's not like a guitar player trying to cover, like, you know, the 35 overdubs that I did.
Yeah.
But like I like one thing I love about being a quote unquote solo artist is that the live band can change. And so I've played these songs live with like a sort of more like traditional, like, you know, quote unquote rock band, like two guitars, bass and drums. I think this summer I've got some festivals lined up, and I think a lot of those shows are going to be like duo or trio, like just like lots of harmonies. And sort of move away from some of the electronic stuff. It's fun to kind of just like experiment and mess around with it. And I think I don't know, all songs have to sound good on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah. Well, that's the most basic, right? I mean, if the song is a good song, you can even do it without any instrumentation and it'll stand alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And like for me, like, you know, I'm a pretty lyric oriented guy. And so if a song isn't standing on its own without like a synth or a drum machine, then that means the lyrics suck. And I gotta get back to the drawing board.
Yeah, for sure. Does that work you said you're trying to use a little drum machine and things like that with the live stuff, even if you're solo. Does that work the other way where some of your old songs, are you trying to like sort of reinterpret any of those to incorporate different things, or are they sort of, they're done, they're what they are, they're not changing?
You know, Sam, I would not be upset to never play any of those songs ever again. I mean, no, they're fine. I'm just sick of them. But no, I haven't thought about, although I haven't really. No, I'm trying to think. I think the band kind of reimagined a couple tunes. We did a version of Me and My Mental Health, like that was full band. That was really fun to play, like with kind of like groovy drums and more harmonies and stuff. Because I don't think that song has harmonies on the record. No, it doesn't. So I guess the answer is yes.
it's a good way to get to the answer. Yeah, for sure. So I mean, like, with in saying that, do the song, like, I are you literally just sick of them? It's playing them too much. It's your, or do you feel like you've sort of moved on artistically from them? Like, I mean, how much, I guess, how close do you feel to these songs now? Are they like very much in the past, or do you feel like there's still aspects of them that resonate with sort of where you are today as an artist, as a writer, as a performer?
It's a good question. I think yes to everything. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, it sounded spoiled. Like if someone comes up to me at the show and asks me to play a song that like is from my last record, like,
yeah.
I should be so lucky to have anyone that has any requests of any music that I've made. So I will always gladly do that. And I think it's more just, yeah, like a lot of those songs I wrote when I was like 25.
For sure.
You know? And so it's different now, but I also, some of the songs I'll like change the lyrics a little bit to make them a little bit more accurate to how I feel now. I think like so much of having like a good compelling show is being able to like sell what you're singing and believe it. And so sometimes I'll change out lyrics a little bit, or even like change the tense of a phrase or something to make it feel a little bit more true to me, to make it feel like easier to kind of sell.
Okay.
But no, I mean, overall, I don't, it's mostly just like those songs have been around for a long time. And because I took so long between putting out records, it's just, I've been playing Night Baker for a long time.
Do you think that the length of time between records will increase at this point? Or, I mean, obviously, like you said, you have, your time is your time because you're busy with kids and stuff, but
I hope not. I'm actually entering a period of my life where I'm actually spending a lot more time on music and taking it much more seriously as a job. I've switched careers a little bit, and so I actually have a lot more time for music, and it's proving to be a bit more of a job. So I've already got the next record mostly written, to be honest, and I think I'll be ready to start recording it pretty soon.
How does that feel, having that sort of ready to go, knowing that, you know, people haven't heard this one yet? For the most part,
it feels good, honestly. I like the idea, you know, this record that's about to come out, you know, barely any of the songs are road tested or sort of have been played for audiences. So I'm excited to be able to try that a little bit. I'm playing a lot of shows the next 6 months or so. And so I'm really looking forward to being able to like kind of get back in the set. Like, I love playing live, and I haven't really seriously in a long time. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to that and being able to try some of the new stuff. And
cool.
Yeah.
And seeing how it goes over, I guess. Right. I
mean, yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the questions I've been asking you about sort of, you know, where these songs sit with you, that might affect sort of how you feel about them too, right? Is what the reaction they get on live, what works live, what doesn't. So yeah, obviously 100%. That's kind of up in the air at this point.
Yeah.
There's more mold than there was before. My boots puddle up the hallway, and I leave the seat up always. And if I need reminding, I hope that you're finding a reason to believe. And if I lack direction, you won't lose affection for who I try to be. If I've been mean, you make an easy target for me. You hold your peace. I love you and I'm sorry. I'm a broken record. It doesn't make me better or make me. We won't live like this forever. You remind me you understand. Sometimes I hate it when you understand. And if I need reminding, I hope that you're finding a reason to believe that I know I need fixing. 'Cause I love contradicting the lessons we receive. If I've been needing, I'll work to make my moods less stormy until the words run out of steam. I love you.
So with the album title and the album title of your last record as well, they are very I mean I know they in both cases they come from songs on the record, but I don't want to say they're downers, but like it has kind of a very sort of melancholy vibe to it. What is the reason for choosing that as the title of this one?
I mean I think for me, if I'm going to be putting out music as Jacob Brodowski, not as like a moniker or like as a band.
Yeah.
You know, the records are, and in my opinion should be, relatively personal. And so I kind of view them as sort of, not like diaries are the wrong word, but they're sort of like, they're like records of like periods of my life. And like, I Love You and I'm Sorry, a lot of the songs on that record are a lot about like, sort of like, contending with like feelings of adulthood and like, you know, anxiety about like, trying to figure out how you're going to live your life and, you know, all that stuff, all the cliche stuff, whatever. And then this record is yeah, there's like lots of themes of like parenthood and sort of like, you know, entering your mid 30s or whatever. And so to me, this record feels very much like a continuation of the last record, like sort of like a sequel. And so I wanted the title to also kind of feel that way. It's sort of like that they should sort of fit together on the shelf next to each other kind of thing. And so, and I like the idea of having like a wordy title, because I think that's just funny and goes along with my whole vibe thing, I guess. Vibe is a weird word, but you know, I'm a wordy guy, as we're both experiencing in this moment. And so, yeah. And until the kids we tried, it just feels like it really kind of sums up the ideas of the whole record in a lot of ways, not just the one song.
Well, yeah, I guess, and I guess, you know, again, with the previous record, it did the same thing, right? It was mm-hmm. definitely one song in particular that it comes from, but yeah, it summed up the whole feel of it. And yeah, I guess Tell the Kids We Tried, it sounds so, I don't want to say negative because it's not, but like it has this kind of sad vibe to it, which I don't think
totally
is necessarily there on the songs. And it's not necessarily there in what you're saying either, in the sense of like, you know, like everything you said about having kids and stuff is a positive. And again, it's not a mm-hmm. negative title, but it has that kind of downer vibe to it.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of my whole, how I like to live is like, it's not, I'm not like a pessimist, but yeah. like, you know, we're kind of grinning through the pain a lot of the time.
Yeah, for sure. That works. Definitely. So when is this coming out? I mean, this is a podcast. People hear it when it gets yeah. released, or they could hear it 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Apparently, I can never yeah. stop making this stupid show. So
how have you been doing this show now?
More than 13 years now.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous. So I'm apparently going to keep doing this forever, which is fine. Yeah. I'm happy to. But I mean, like, depending when someone hears this, it might have been out for a while. It might be coming out. What is the actual release date for people who are listening
now? The record is coming out on July 10th, 2026.
Okay.
And then we got singles rolling out. The first single's out now, Past Mistakes, and then the next single, Colorado Low, will be out in about a month, and then another single after that, and then the record.
How do you feel about that way of releasing music? I mean, I know that's sort of how things happen now. I mean, would you rather sort of just dump the whole thing on people in like one fell swoop, or do you like this idea of sort of slowly unveiling it?
You know, I am on board with whatever will get my songs into the most ears. I mean, sorry, I should take that back. That's not at all true. But if this method, I'm not going to like be on a calendar or anything. But if this method of releasing is the way to do it, I don't mind. I like the idea of being able to focus on songs. I still like the idea of singles. Some people just release singles. They don't even
yeah,
put out
yeah.
albums. They just kind of put out songs. And to me, this is like my last album. This album is an album, and it really is intended to be listened to front to back. And sort of there is a bit of like a narrative arc to it. And so I like the idea of being able to kind of foreshadow that with singles. Also, interestingly enough, the singles on this record, like it's literally going to be track 1, 2, 3.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Are the singles, and then the rest of the record comes out. And I kind of like how that ended up working out too.
Yeah, that fits the whole chronological thing you were just talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm sure I've asked you this before, because I think that we've talked about this very thing before, but you know, we're in a world now where, you know, people aren't necessarily going to listen to that. There are people who are going to sit down and consume the whole thing start to finish. And that's obviously how you would prefer it. But, mm-hmm. you know, someone could hear one song completely out of context, and then they could hear another one 2 weeks later or whatever, or it could show up on a shuffle thing. Like, do you have to prepare the way you put an album together knowing that's part of it? Or do you just, it is what it is and people are going to hear it how they hear it?
I think have to is the operative word there. I don't have to. I should.
Right.
And I don't.
That was fair enough, yeah.
But I mean, yeah. Like, I think at the end of the day, if you're the type of music consumer that likes the kind of music that I make, you're gonna want to listen to the whole record.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, I just if you're listening for like it's not the type of music you want to like have playing in the background while you're like, you know, working on an essay or something. Like, it's.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. I hope it's the type of record that, you know, you put on while you're driving somewhere and feeling feelings.
Yeah. I think that your music in general, like, rewards close listening. And you kind of alluded to that, you know, about being wordy and about you like Easter eggs on records and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that all sort of applies to what you do in general. And then it makes sense that someone would benefit more from sort of consuming the whole thing.
I hope so. But yeah, I mean, also, like, you know, if you just like the one song, that's great. I'll take anything.
Yeah. Yeah, beggars can't be choosers, right? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Is this getting a physical release as well? I know your past yeah. Last one came out on vinyl, and your previous ones were all CDs and everything, and your EPs.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have vinyl and CDs. I have a German label now.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So they're pressing the records and sending a bunch over to sell here.
Is that something you set up when you toured in Germany? Is that like how you have that connection, or?
I started to set up. Yeah, honestly, it was a long time. Like, like all these things, they take a long time. So Jorg, who runs this label, Make My Day Records, I emailed him last time I toured Germany to just like invite him out to a show, and he couldn't make it. But then he listened to the record and he liked it. And then he was like, "Oh, maybe I'll put this out." I was like, "Oh, it's already out." He's like, "Oh, okay. Well, that I'm not gonna do that then." I was like, "All right. Well, nice to chat with you anyway." And then we didn't talk for a long time. And then I messaged him being like, "Hey, I'm putting out another record. Any interest?" And he's like, "Ah, no, I'm awful." I was like, "All right, well, here's the record anyway." And then he's like, "Oh, I actually really like it. I want to do it." And I was like,
"Cool,
great,
cool."
So yeah, it's yeah.
And then for people who are hearing, maybe hearing you for the first time on here, or they're just catching up on what you've been doing, what's the best way to find out what you're up to as far as shows? You mentioned you got a lot of shows coming up. Where should people find you online to keep track of that?
Instagram is where I am most up to date. I just got an email from a venue that I'm playing on tour today being like, why isn't your website updated? So hopefully my website, but Instagram, Jacob Brodowski. Cool. Or www.jacobbrodowski.com.
And I guess, obviously, outside of the physical stuff, which people will get at shows and elsewhere, you're on all the various streaming platforms and whatnot?
All the streaming platforms, yeah.
Cool.
All the ethical, awesome streaming platforms, but also Bandcamp.
Right on, yeah, Bandcamp. Yeah. It's always nice to see that, right? Like, it's you can at least feel somewhat good about, somewhat.
About somewhat. Music, yeah.
A little bit better, yeah.
A little bit better, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
It was a gray and gloomy, cold September day when you walked into our home room. You were tall and sophisticated, you were sad in a pretty way. You were bright against the sky's gloom. As you sat down at your desk, I tried to play cool. I couldn't believe I was meeting my future at high school. So I tapped you on the shoulder. As you turned, I smelled your hair. You said hi, and I forgot why I was standing there. In the summer, the sun was hot, and the UV gave me hives. I spent my days beside the waiting pool. Ever selfless, you got a job in a white chair, saving lives. I tried to drown, so I need a rescue. As you tried to get a grip on my chlorinated skin, I tried to speak through all the water I had taken in, but I couldn't. I just lay there and coughed as you rolled your eyes. You said to the crowd, does anyone know this guy? If I was your weatherman in your kitchen every day, not a meteorologist, just someone pointing out the rain, I'd be on your favorite morning show. I'd have that local kind of fame. I could be your weatherman, you would know my name. Let me be your weatherman. would say that's my dad, the weatherman. Everyone knows his name. So won't you let me be your weatherman?